I feel it's like right under the surface all the time right now. My emotions are right there all of the time. And I don't know why.
I think I do. It's because you're in tune with yourself. Like you feel
and
like
you're purging.
Yeah.
You're going through something where your body, you've been on this journey of self-discovery for a long time, Josh. Yeah. Since I first met you, you have morphed into a completely different human, but still the same Josh, if that makes 100%. Sense. So you have been on this journey of self-discovery and you've been searching for something. And I think you're finding it. And I think that, you know, there's going to be so many more layers that you're going to peel back. It's like a fucking onion and you're going to be emotional through some of those.
Can I tell you
roads you go down?
What a crazy thing to discover at my age.
I don't think we could have handled it if we discovered it earlier.
I agree with you.
Age is wisdom. And it is like, that's like when people are like, oh my God, don't you wish you were younger? Absolutely fucking not. I love where we're at in life right now because we're willing to accept advice. We're willing to hear, we're willing to learn, and we want to heal.
And I have a different perspective on, I'm going to use the word flaws and failure, that those two words don't mean what people think they mean.
Right.
That failure isn't failure. Mm-mm. It's life.
No,
there's no life without something's going wrong, right?
Without failure, we would never learn that lesson.
100%.
Yeah, and failure is not failure. It's just a lesson learned. That's absolutely all it is. Yeah. It's not something you didn't succeed at. It's something that you take a life lesson from and learn from it and put that towards succeeding in that the next time or other things in life.
Are we rolling? Because this is great.
Actually, yeah. He was recording. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
All right. So we should probably introduce everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Hey, man. I'm Josh.
I'm Jacob.
And we are here for Hey Man. We have a guest today that I am so excited to talk to. Bunny is here. We were just talking leading up into this.
Yeah.
And
Heavy shit. We always get into these deep conversations. Yeah.
Can I tell you real quick, and I like to start these by giving people their flowers. I'm a dude who thinks you should tell people what you think about them while they're alive and in front of you. Yeah. I think that's important stuff. Right. I just want to tell you how much, and I don't say this to a ton of people, how much true respect I have for you as a human. I want to tell you something that may sound small, but it isn't, especially in today's day and age. You know, one of the best things I can say about you, you listen.
No, I appreciate it. I'll receive that because I've been told my whole life I don't. So I'll take it.
When I speak to you, I can see you and feel you present. Like you're interested, like you care, you listen. It's such an amazing thing. But I want to tell you, above all, what I respect about you is that, look, I know, and we're going to get into some of the stuff about how you grew up in your life. But I respect this so much about people when you were like, this is not how you're going to define me.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
This is not how you're going to define. You don't get to decide
who I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's such a powerful statement to make. And not a lot of people can do it and stand behind it. And you fucking stand behind it. Yeah. You haven't, as you and Jay have gotten bigger, you haven't changed who you are. You haven't been like, oh, I shouldn't go on an interview. We shouldn't look like this or we shouldn't. You are unapologetically the two of you. And you in particular are still you. You're like, I'm separate from this. We love each other, but I'm this person.
Yeah.
I'm not his wife. I'm this person.
Yeah. Thank you. And I appreciate that.
I respect that so much. I want you to know, just coming in, I have so much respect for you as a person. I'm so looking forward to this interview.
I'm just so happy to be here. You know, Josh, when I was first starting out with the podcast, you came on my podcast, no hesitation. And that has always stuck with me. And then after I met you too, and I got to be in your energy, I was like, dude, I fucking love this dude. And your wife.
The best.
I might bang her one day. We might bang.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, not against that.
Okay. Except my hair and my chain won't be dangling in her face, okay? Or she'll love it if it is.
That's true. Yeah, sorry about that, dude.
No, I'll be sorry. Sorry.
I will say, though, on that same note of, weirdly, my mother, and giving you your flowers, and we'll get into it a little later, but you know, I feel relatable to you in a certain way because you really, you know, when you and Jay got together, you really came into a role and stepped up into a position with his kids, with obviously your kids. It's very admirable and relatable because my mom did the same thing when I was 4 years old. And it's something that I really respect. And I think it's so important for people to see that it doesn't matter what life throws at you and you're taking it in stride and loving everybody the way you do. And I think it's really respectable and it's very admirable. And I also relate to you as like, I'm not trying to be just known as his kid.
Right.
You know? So I really feel like that on the same length. So I just wanted to give you that up top as well and say it's very respectable and admirable for everything that you've done.
Listen, I could sit here all day. Just keep it coming.
Before we get into your child, can I ask you though, like when you decided you were going to step in the role of mom, did you and Jay talk first and be like, or did you talk, like, do you go directly to Bailey and go, this is my gonna be my role? Like, how did you do that?
So, okay. I'm gonna try to like put this into perspective as good as I can because, you know, when I was a child, I didn't get the choice of like, hey, this is going to be your stepmom. I was pretty much told like, this is your stepmom and you have to call her mom and this is how it's going to be. And I grew up in a very abusive household.
How old are you?
Five. And as a five-year-old, I felt that woman's energy. And I told my dad, please do not marry her. Please don't marry her. I'm 5 years old, begging him, please don't marry her. Because I could feel her energy. The day that they got married, I tore apart my wedding dress that I was in. Like, I literally was bucking the system at 5 years old.
Wow.
So that's how much. And I lived a lifetime of heartache because of it. So whenever I came into Bailey's life, I had dated men who had children before. For some reason, I have a thing for single dads because I had a single dad.
Yeah,
right. Raise me. Yeah. So I've always had, you know, other children in my life, but not that I kind of like claimed as my own. And with Bailey, you know, Bailey's situation was unique. And I just want to be really sensitive talking about her trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she grew up in a home with a drug addict mother and, you know, she had to grow up very early. And so we were kind of like all forced to be together because we had to emergency intervene. Her mom had, you know, robbed the house next door and they went to jail for it and they were going to do a really long bid. We were already making steps to get her in that moment, but this kind of like forced us to hurry to have to do it. So when we got Bailey, she was mad at us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You took me from my mom and I don't like you guys. And who is this guy? You know, like she knew Jay, but they weren't close. It was like a weekend dad and stuff like that. So when Jay and I got married, the first conversation Bailey and I had was in a Burger King in like the middle of fucking, I don't even know where, somewhere Tennessee. And she was like, so, and this is, she's a child. I'm talking like 7 years old. She's like, so what are your intentions with my dad?
Mm.
And I was like, I said, I love him. And I was like, I want to be with him, you know? And she was like, okay. And she's just looking at me across the table and she's just quizzing me.
Little girls are smart.
But oh, in that moment, that was my chance to make her feel comfortable. Like my stepmom never made me feel.
You could see yourself in her.
Yes. Yeah. Bailey and I's lives have been so parallel. It's been insane. You know, this child has helped me heal so much. Like my own personal trauma, just watching everything she's gone through.
Yeah.
And my main thing with Bailey is I've always just wanted her to feel safe. I've never told her to call me mom. That was a conversation we had in the very beginning. I said, Bailey, I love you. I will be Bunny forever.
Yeah.
You never have to call me mom. So don't ever feel like you have to call me mom. She called me mom. She calls me mom on her own.
Yeah.
Like that. And every time she says it, it warms my heart because she did that on her own.
Yeah.
You know? So from that first conversation, I remember Bailey has always been so headstrong and I think it was her first test for me, but she was like, what do you think I should get from the menu? And I was like, oh, you have to get an Oreo shake. We're at Burger King. And she's like, ew, I've never had an Oreo shake. I'll never try an Oreo shake. I was like, if you don't like it, throw it on the floor. That has always been my thing. If you don't like something, throw it on the floor. Like to this day.
I wish you would have told me that growing up. That'd have been awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, I promise you, you'll love it, you know? And she's like, okay. Cause she's so set in her ways with her food and how she eats things. Mm-hmm. Like she's very particular. And I got her this Oreo shake. and she absolutely loved it. And I think that was her way. Her now she asks me, you can ask them before she does anything new. She's like, Mom, what do you think about this? Mom, do you think I'll like this? Like it kind of like set the precedence for our relationship where Bailey didn't trust women at all. And I had to really work and earn her trust.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, Beth has been important for countless reasons, but
yeah,
for what she did for the kids about providing a female role model, mm-hmm. which is important that you get a role model. I mean, obviously not everybody gets one of each, but if you can get one of each.
Yeah.
Right.
And in a situation where she's thrust into, you know what she would say, because, you know, there were times where the kids were rough on her.
Oh yeah. No, I get it.
And she would go into the room and cry. And I would be like, do you want me to say something? And she'd say, it's my job to love them. It's not their job to love me. I just have to keep doing my job and showing up.
Yeah.
And eventually all I can hope for is that they'll see that they're safe with me.
Yes.
And that's really the big thing is that kids don't feel safe, right?
They don't.
And so she was like, eventually they're going to feel safe with me and they're going to realize they don't have to push me away. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was really brutal to watch because, well, especially for you who is in the same situation, probably part of the instinct is like, let me get the fuck out of here.
You know, so when people like thank me for being there for Bailey and like, you know, the how sweet you guys are, like I've had a few people do that. I never did it for the thank yous. Like to me, it was just what was right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you've got this little girl who is living a fucked up life right now because her mom has an addiction and she doesn't deserve that. This little girl deserves a chance, you know? And when Jay and I first got custody of her, we were less than thou. You know, I was in the sex industry. Mm-hmm. I was no role model for a child at all. And, you know, Jay was just barely even making it with the music. And, you know, we had to fucking borrow money from people to pay our rent type situation sometimes, you know? So we've all had to like grow together and grow up together. Yeah. And it's been a really beautiful journey, but it has been hard. It hasn't always been beautiful. We went through some stuff with Bailey last year, which she talks about on my podcast, where, you know, her birth mother, you know, had her doing drugs with her and was.
At what age?
They were doing drugs at what, 15, 14 and 15. Her mom was getting her drunk. Her mom was, you know, having her use illegal substances and
crazy
hiding it, making her hide it from us. And, you know, up until probably, you know, Bailey and I we've always been getting closer and closer. Her and her dad have always been getting closer and closer. But there was that one moment where I honestly feel like Bailey has finally let all of her walls down, and we've had full custody of her for 8 years now. It has taken 8 years of hard work of just loving this child through everything to where we have finally felt like her walls have come down. Like even she's just a normal everyday, like she is like such a happy kid now.
You know, you said something that sounds so simple, but it really isn't. And you just said by loving her through everything, that's it.
Yeah.
Look, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. And that's why I hate the parenting books.
Yeah.
And I hate the parenting experts. Yo, there's no such
one size fits
thing.
All.
Yeah.
There's no
such thing
all.
As a parenting expert. You know,
no.
Here's what the parenting experts should preach. Love. Mm-hmm.
Understanding.
Patience and understanding.
Respect.
Here's the deal, man. The goal, as you get older, you realize you're never going to be happier. Than you are when you find out who you are.
Right.
And you allow yourself to be who you are.
Absolutely.
And so you want that for your kids. But the more you try to make your kids into something, instead of just going, what do you like to do?
Right.
The longer it'll take them to figure out who the fuck they are.
Well, the problem is a lot of parents force what they want them to do onto the kids.
Yep.
And I have had to unlearn so many toxic traits from my childhood with Bailey. Like when we first had her in the picture, I was super strict because that's how I was raised, you know, and I needed that structure. Jay's super loose. He's fucking fun dad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like one of us has to be the, you know, nope, this is how it's going to be. And the other one has to be like good cop, bad cop.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
But it's like, most parents force their kids into being somebody who they're not. Yeah. And you have to kind of learn who your child is mm-hmm. and allow them to bloom into who they're going to be, even if it's not what your expectations exactly. are.
Yeah. I saw it a lot growing up. There were, especially in like the sports teams that you would coach, or like when I went to high school, I could see the kids that were here and they were having fun, and they asked their parents, hey, I want to do this. And then you'd always see those one or two kids every year that was like, their dad was forcing them to play a sport because he didn't hit the level that he wanted to, and he right. wants to live through his kid.
Yes.
But you're pushing your kid to do something that they may not even like to do, but they want to do it because they don't want to disappoint you.
Yes.
So there's that. It's that vicious cycle of.
And then they grow up with resentment.
Yes.
Correct. Right.
There was a kid, by the way, on his baseball team growing up.
Which one?
At Beeman Park. You were 11. There was this little kid who was clearly not made for sports.
I hate that. That's the worst.
He was in. We'd put him in the outfield because I didn't want to get hit by the ball. And he would pick flowers and he would chase butterflies.
Oh, we love him.
Oh, we did love him. He was good kid.
The best.
Good kid.
His dad could not get past.
Super alpha, right?
So the kid, he was like, let my son play in the infield. I'm like, this is not going to be good.
Oh, no.
He was like, he wants to play in the infield. Tell him. And I was like, do you really want to play? He's like, yeah. So I always, for me, it was always about my goal when I coached, you can ask him. My goal mm-hmm. was, I just want to make sure everybody wants to play next year.
Yeah.
Whether we win or not is fine.
Yeah.
But let's all have a good time. None of you are playing professional baseball. You all eat dicks.
Yeah.
We did.
We fucking terrible.
Right.
Yeah. So we did win every year though.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But we won because, so the kid was playing shortstop. Alex, you're going to love this. Kid was playing shortstop and he takes a ground ball and hits the chest. Mm. And you can hear, you know, when the wind knocks out. So he falls down. The other kids gather around and I run out there and his dad runs out there. Mm. So I run out first. I'm like, you okay? He's like, a kid. I'm like, you're okay.
Little Lionel the Lamb.
And his, yeah, the dad always wore the short gym teacher.
Oh.
Tight.
Not the Clark Bar trousers.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with the baby bird peeking out. Oh. Yeah.
Little red snake.
He was down like this, and he's bending over his son.
Oh.
And he goes, come on. And we're just going to say his name was Alex. Come on, Alex, get up. And then one of the other kids who had a limp, and we'll just call him Mr. Jones.
Damn, what kind of team was this?
And he goes,
Bad News Bears type
shit. He goes, Mr. Jones, I can see your penis.
It was
the whole team, me and Mr. Jones. That was the only. I just looked at him. I was like, maybe sweatpants tomorrow,
no.
dude.
Yeah. And not the gray ones. No. But stop trying to show the Clark Bar off. Right?
It's crazy. We had the batch.
They have no
year.
Panties.
No, dude.
He was commando.
Baby
he
might as well have been wearing a Speedo or tighty whities. Like it was bad. But this dude every year drafted a team of just straight Bad News Bears.
Me?
You?
You. Because it was
like, give me all the rejects.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Because it's crazy. He would take, because it's right. I remember
those. But you
make
people feel good.
Yeah, kids but I also remember good. Those practices and those teams so vividly because there were kids on my teams every year. We had good players, but there was always, you always had the rejects. You always had the kids who were.
Didn't know a hand the glove went on.
Didn't, like we're forced
ran
to play
to third
their,
base first instead of running to first.
I love that.
All those kids.
But you guys probably gave them so many core memories.
That's oh, but, well, yeah. yeah. I mean, the core
remember
memory
that kid
was.
Who cried.
When we won a championship,
crying, baby.
Yeah. I don't want to say his name. I remember his name. There's no crying in baseball, but I cried a lot. We won a lot of trophies, which was
this
great,
little kid.
But we always had the most fun. You turned kids who didn't want to play sports into kids who were like, I may not be a professional athlete, but I want to come try and play this next year.
But they had fun, man.
Dude, yeah. We always had fun. You always had tricks or games for us to possibly.
When
possibly
ice
win some ice cream or when like a pack
I
of baseball
can I tell you
cord.
Something
what kind of dad was Josh? Because I mean, I see the human that he is now.
Yeah.
And he just seems like such a sweet, fun, loving man. I can't see him being any different.
No, I mean, like, look, for me, I'm not going to say everything was perfect. Growing up, there were.
Perfect
there,
is never.
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing. There were a couple times growing up. There was one time in high school, he made me switch schools halfway through my junior year. So legit for my senior year, I was at a completely different school. None of the friends I had made. I was starting over. And I remember when he switched me out of that school, I didn't talk to him for 2 weeks.
No.
Him or my mom. He would take me to school in the morning. I would go to school. I would come back. I would go to my room. And then dinner would be ready. I would come out, eat dinner, and then disappear for the rest of the night. That for a good 2 weeks. Like,
yeah, that might have been the first time in your life that we had really had a riff like that.
Yeah, and then I got punched in the face the start of my second week.
What were the good qualities about him?
Good, everything. like there were times, of course, where I was like upset for school or like I didn't make a sports team or things like that. Mm. And he would let me obviously feel my emotions because I think
that's huge.
It's huge. Like, I think it's a big thing that parents don't understand. It's like, you got to let your kids go through it.
I've learned that with Bailey because I'm such a hard ass. I'm always like, what are you crying about? Stop crying. But then now, like last night, I'm like, your feelings are valid.
Yeah,
I want you to admit you're upset. And then I'm like, who the fuck am I? You know, because I'm like so gangster about shit. I'm like, fuck it. Fuck
but
that
that's
dude.
That's how we were raised, man.
Yeah.
When we were raised, and I've said this before, nobody asked us about our feelings.
Ever.
That was not something.
Ever. It was if you cry, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
What are you crying about?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you before. Where did you grow up? Like, brothers, sisters? Like, what was the situation?
God. I am from an all-American white trash family, okay? My dad was a musician, so he liked to spread a seed all over. He was a womanizer.
Okay.
So I have a half-older brother, I have a half-older sister from my mom, and then I have a half-younger sister from my mom, my stepmom, and my dad. So we're all half. None of us were raised with each other except for me and my little sister, which I left at 14. But I was born in Houston, grew up in Vegas.
Tell me about your mom was out of the picture at what age?
So my dad was a musician, big, you know, kind of like a big deal back then. And he and my mom was a stripper. They met and, you know, made me. My mom was just not. She's an addict, so she just wasn't really made to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And my dad ended up getting like hepatitis from like, they try to tell me now they're changing the story, but back then it was he got hepatitis from shooting up cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to tell me he got hepatitis B. But like, what would he be in the hospital for that for such a long time, you know? I'm like, okay, whatever. Let's not fucking try to sugarcoat it now. But she ended up dropping me off on a stranger's doorstep at 3 months old. And my dad, and she ran off with my dad's organ player. And my dad, it took him 2 weeks to find me after he got out of the hospital. And when they found me, these people had me locked in a closet. Crazy, right? And I mean, I don't remember any of it. Right. I was a fucking baby.
Yeah.
So I didn't talk to my mom again until I was 22 years old.
Did you, growing up, were you curious about her?
Oh, extremely curious. I almost got kidnapped the night of my parents' wedding. There was a woman that saw how mean my stepmom was being to me. And I remember she was so beautiful. She had blue eyes and black hair. And that's what my mom has is blue eyes and black hair. And she took me in the bathroom and she was like, is that lady being mean to you? And I'm like, mm-hmm. She's like, do you want to go home with me? And I was like, yep. And she literally tried to take me through the back of this venue while my parents were all partying. And my stepmom caught her and broke a fucking champagne glass over this girl's face and beat the dog shit out of her. This is the white trash family I'm telling you about. At their wedding reception. This is Houston. Still. Yeah, we didn't move to Vegas till I was 5. I as a little girl, I thought that was my mom trying to steal me back.
Oh.
You know, so I was always very curious about her. At that age, I had never even seen a picture of my mom. So to know that she had black hair and blue eyes is crazy, right? And then I didn't see a picture of my mom until finally, you know, I was like 21 years old. My dad was getting on a plane and gave me a fucking whole bunch of pictures of me and my mom together growing up because he had to sneak around my stepmom. My stepmom, we were not allowed to talk about my mom in the house.
Got it.
And she, anytime she talked about my mom, she talked bad about my mom. And it was just like, it was a severe jealousy thing, you know? So
did you growing up, and when we talked about this earlier on when you first sat down, like you probably did not feel safe as a child.
Never. I never felt heard. I never felt like anybody cared. I grew up in a house where it was children should be seen, not heard.
Go ahead. Was that really important to you when Bailey came into your life? Was because obviously you said she healed some of your trauma, but then obviously you saw yourself in her. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to give her everything that you weren't given. everything. Growing up, right?
Yes, everything. My stepmom, I grew up in such a verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive house that all I grew up around was screaming and yelling. I've never yelled at Bailey. Mm. We got into our first argument ever last year. I mean, because she was in some serious shit, right. You know, but like, I've never raised my voice at Bailey. I've never raised my hand to her. Like, I have completely, everything that the woman put me through, I have made sure to not do with Bailey.
What was your dad's reaction to like, or the way, how did he handle the way your stepmom treated you? Did you resent him?
So I don't know if I knew that it was resentment until I got older, but it was more like I just felt like he did not care. Like he, yeah. I would come to him and be like, she's lying to you, because she would never let me have a relationship with my dad. Having daddy-daughter time, never got that with my dad. Like I was never allowed to be alone with him. Like she just controlled everything.
Was she jealous of you, you think?
I think so, yeah, because yeah, I represented a previous relationship, and it's never the child's fault.
No.
We don't ask to fuck. I mean, we do. Technically, we pick who our parents are before we come here, but yep. That's a whole other conversation. Right, but yeah.
By the
like,
way, I'm starting to believe that.
I'm telling you, it's lessons that yep. you have, that you're coming here, that your soul wants to learn, and yep. you're going to pick who you want your parents to be. Have you heard about that?
I don't think so.
Tell yeah. them about it a little bit, Josh.
Well, from what I understand, like this is if you believe, which I do, there's only a certain amount of energy.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't be destroyed, created. There's a certain yeah, amount of energy.
It just morphs.
Right. Just morphs. Mm-hmm. So when, that's why I don't, when people say God, what I hear is energy.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. When people see God, he's a ball of light, which is
energy.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe in energy, all I could tell you is go to one of Jelly's concerts and listen to them sing back to him and tell me you don't feel that energy. That's energy that's filling you up. So that comes in all forms, good. I'm sure you have. You ever felt somebody walk into a room and be like, got to get out of here. That's not the person.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, all the time.
That's I'm not like the person that. I want to be. Oh, goodness. Right? Yeah. So if you take that idea that we're all energy, you're just constantly coming back.
Transferring.
And you are coming back to learn different lessons. Or to me, sometimes you come back so you can be the person who that another person learns a lesson from.
Absolutely. Yeah. Karmic.
So karmic I really cycle. Do believe that too. Like sometimes I believe that something bad, somebody comes back on purpose to not be great to you, to or to not to put something in your path that you have to learn from that is not great.
Well, until you learn that lesson, it's going to come back to you in a different situation, person, body, whatever. It will come to you over and over again until you actually pass that lesson and learn that lesson.
Looking back on your childhood, and I do have some more questions about growing up, but are you in a forgiveness stage?
I am. So I got to inherit custody of my mom last year before she died. 2 years ago, 2022. I always say last year because she died in November of 2022.
Yeah.
But April of 2022. So my mom found me on AOL chat when I was 22 and she hit messages me and she's like, hey, I'm your mom. And I'm like, go fuck yourself.
Can I ask why you have AOL still?
I mean, no, when I was 22. Oh, okay. Listen, stop trying to date me, all right? You're letting people know how old I am.
Wait, by the way, mom still has an AOL email.
I love Beth. She's even had more reasons AOL why I've been a boner.
Where you got to get that chain a little longer.
Yeah. And the hair yeah. for sure. I think you might have longer hair on top than I do. So I was in an AOL chat room when I was 22. My mom fucking popped up on the screen. She was like, hey, I'm your mom. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. And then it actually ended up really being my mom. So we ended up having a relationship online for like 15 years. I didn't get to physically meet my mother until I was 36 years old.
Wow.
She's such an addict. She didn't want to leave the house. Yeah, you know?
Right.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
When you did find out that was your mother, was obviously there was some sort of resentment, but also you were intrigued. Like, what was your first thought when you guys kept a relationship for 15 years? Like, was it something that you were just kind of doing because you were like, I might as well just see where it goes? Or were you purposefully trying to rebuild at that point in time in your life?
So with my dad and my mom and that was leading up to tell you about my forgiveness stage. Yeah. But with my dad and my mom, I have always been able to see the bigger picture. It's so weird. Leaving home at 14, I left because there was a bunch of people who were giving me examples of what I didn't want to be. And I knew that at 14 years old, I was like, I can do so much better. I left home at 14. I haven't gotten a dollar from my family or anything since I was 14 years old. I did everything on my own because I knew that there was a better life. And I'm sorry, what was the question though? I was leading up to that. I was able to move forward with my family, realizing like, yeah, of course I was mad at my dad for a little bit in my early 20s. I didn't talk to him for like probably almost 10 years because I was mad at him and I cut him off. But during that 10 years, I was building my relationship with my mom, who I immediately learned that she was a drug addict and she was going to be a huge fucking disappointment. And then I also reconnected with my older sister, who was a drug addict and a fucking disappointment, you know? So I looked at it as like, I've always like loved studying people's psyche and like what makes them. So I wanted to know like, what happened to you? Like what, I want to know about your childhood, like my older sister, what happened to you and mom? Like I've always tried to like kind of piece together the pieces. So it wasn't me like trying to rebuild. It was me trying to understand, you know, like everything that they had been through. And then, like I said, I got custody of my mom last year, April of 2022. They called me. And because I met my mom finally at 36. And then one thing about my mom, like even when I was going through like my addiction myself, when I was addicted to cocaine and Xanax, I would call her and I would take it out on her. I'd be like, I don't want to be like you. And I would cry and I would cuss her out. And at every time that would happen, she would just listen to me. And she would never get mad at me. And she would always say, honey, I love you.
That's huge.
You're going to make it through. And I never got that from my dad.
Wow. You know?
So it was like, it was really cool. We had a really weird, fucked up relationship. But when I really needed my mom the most, she was always there for me.
Can I ask you a question?
Me a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever asked you this. It's another similarity that you two have. Because you don't talk to your biological mom.
No, I do not.
And I last week I said to you, you know, forgiveness isn't about the other person.
Yeah, it's for you.
It's for you to let go of that energy, to not have it on. And you don't even have to tell them that you forgive them.
No.
If you don't want to give them that.
You can forgive somebody and still have boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. And I asked you, do you ever think about forgiving your biological mom? And you said, I don't want to. And you almost said, I don't want to get rid of the energy, but I'm so curious how pre-talking to her and post, does it feel like a weight was lifted?
I was never mad at my mom. I was never mad at her. Like my real mom, I never was mad at her. Is that because
she wasn't there to be mad at?
Right. I didn't know what it was like to have a mom. So it's not like she was a great mother and then left. And I was like, oh my God, how could you do that to me?
Right.
You were never there for me. So I don't know what a great mother is. The only example I had of a mother was an abusive fucking hell on heels woman, you know? So I was never mad at her. I was more mad at my dad, you know, but he was never a great dad either. Why are you mad at your mom?
I think for me, it's like, my two siblings, they did spend some time living up there in Washington with her. I never did. I stayed here. I stayed in LA with my mom and my dad.
Well, you weren't you were the only one I had full custody of. So
yeah.
It wasn't like there was an.
Did you fight for what? Give me a little synopsis of the story.
So, you know, I met a woman. She had two kids. Mm-hmm. We had Jacob together. When we split up, I kept the kids for a little bit.
All of them.
Yes. Okay.
And then, when I met Beth, she was like, hey, I'm taking the two older kids. She didn't want them around Beth. It was like a, and by the way, I generally don't talk about her because she's a private person, and I want to cast no aspersions on her because as I've gotten older, and I've said this a million times, I realized I don't look at people as good and bad parents anymore. People generally do the best they can.
Right. What they know.
And and she had a very rough childhood.
Yeah.
Very physically, sexually, emotionally abusive. Mm. And she did the best she could. I will never say anything. You've never heard me say a bad thing about her.
Not a single thing.
She did the very best that she could. Mm. But so when she called and she grabbed the two oldest kids for a little bit.
What was her reasoning for not taking Jacob?
I went to court. When we went to court,
okay. served her.
She never showed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think in return that has made you have an abandonment wound?
Oh, I think I definitely have the abandonment issue. Even with my mom.
Oh, your mom.
Yeah, yeah. Even with my mom, like she has filled every single void I could ever ask to be filled for not having my biological mother in the picture. But I think for what it is for me is that not only is it like my childhood trauma, it's also seeing what trauma she caused my siblings.
Right.
I think is also something. And it's like I get defensive over my people.
I understand. Because
it's
that.
Like I see who they were when I was growing up with them.
Oh, yeah.
And to see what has unfolded is tough for me because those are my brother and my sister. And yeah. for me, when I see siblings, you know, and siblings go through trauma, they bond. And no. I think only through our trauma, I've seen us grow separately.
That's yeah. really rough for me.
And it's rough for me too. And also for me, also like oh, I John. Cast most of That's my blame onto her because we tried to come back after they left the house. My brother went to the army and my sister came back down to LA. She was by herself. And it finally, she was like, oh yeah, it's giving me a time to change and this and that. And so I went out to dinner with her. I walked her down the aisle at when she got remarried. Like me and my sister were the only two people to show up for her at that new wedding. And then for her to just fucking throw it all away again without
you How like did she trying. Throw it away?
It's so important to learn to give people grace, dude.
And so yeah.
It really is important to learn to give people grace.
And also you have to learn to love them not for who you expect them to be, but who they really are.
Yeah.
That has been a huge I had to love my mom for the addict that she was.
Yeah.
And if you go, oh, this is who the person is, you can't be disappointed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the big thing. Like a
Which
lot of
it
times.
Takes it, that's where the wisdom comes
yep,
in. Right.
Yep. And that was hard. That was something I understood with my buddy Jackson.
Like his best friend.
My best friend passed away about 5 years ago.
That's traumatic also.
Extremely. I just turned 21. He didn't even make it to 21. That was something for me that as he was going through his demons and going through whatever he had. Or before that, he was a very like flaky guy where he'd make plans, but then not respond or say he's doing something else. And that would frustrate the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But he one day looked at me and he was like, hey man, do you like having fun with him? I was like, dude, he's my best friend. And he's like, okay, when are you going to start not getting mad when you know what's going to happen? And I was like, huh. And he's like, you start accepting him for who he is. Cause even though he flakes, he's still the same dude. Mm. You just got to stop with that expectation.
And you're actually like, getting mad at yourself.
Correct.
Is what's happening.
Correct.
Yeah. You're mad at yourself for falling for it again, but don't put yourself in that. You're actually doing a disservice to your friend for putting them in a position, you know, they can't handle.
But his friend was also triggering his abandonment wound.
For sure.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing though, for my biological mother is that like, on both sides, there was a concerted effort on her side, on my side, to try and hash this out. And then
a lot of hashing out. It's take more than just.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. She flew down to LA. We had dinner with me, her, and my ex at the time. She was the first, that ex-girlfriend at the time was the first any one of my friends, my people to ever meet my biological mother.
Right.
Took a photo together. It was a great dinner. Like we had a great time. I walked her down the aisle at her wedding. Like I was for sure being the bigger person and trying to put my best foot forward to maybe not, I'm probably never going to call her or never thinking I was going to call her mom again, but I was, you know, trying to make sure that this relationship doesn't die. And then 1 year I'm not going to get into it, but said something that didn't happen. And then it just kind of like, it was a final straw for me and my siblings. And then I think also what it it just felt like she gave up. It just felt like she gave up on me and my siblings because there was reaching out for birthdays and for Thanksgiving and for Christmas. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And it's like she just gave up on trying to have a relationship with her three kids. And it just, I don't know, it's such a sour taste in my mouth. And it's like, I understand that she had issues and she had problems and she's still working through them and doing the best that she could. Mm-hmm. But for me and for who I am and what I was going through, it was best for me to just like, I just can't put any energy into it. I can't think about it. It's just going to drive me fucking insane.
Right, it hurts.
My question is why?
Can I tell
why did you give up?
So
why
interesting. You brought up abandonment on him a couple times. And it finally has made sense, something about you, dude, that I've always wondered where you got, because I'm not that dude and your mom's not that person.
Always been that dude.
You draw hard lines.
Always. Well,
yeah. Because the hard line means I'm not giving you a chance
to hurt me again.
Yeah. I had never thought about, but you are a hard line driving.
I'm the same way. I'm the same. I've always been like that. Now I'm way more lenient and flexible.
Yeah, but me too.
Growing up, it was my way or the highway. Yeah. And like, you're not good. I wouldn't let anybody, I would hurt myself before I would let somebody else hurt me.
Absolutely. I'm trying to protect myself. Like, you know, we talk about being too nice or too kind to people, right? Like being nice and being too nice and being walked over, right? Yeah. I very early knew my worth, and I knew what my time was worth and what my friendship was worth and what who I am was worth. And so I didn't want to waste time with people who didn't notice that.
Same reason why I left home at 14.
Okay. So let me get back to this for a second. Before we get back to you leaving home, you're up until that point, how did they parent you? Were you under lock and key? Was it very strict? Could you come and go? Like, what was the house like?
So,
any joy at all?
No. And writing this book has really showed me that I really did not have a childhood. So what had happened was, when my dad and her got married, it was partying all the time, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There was porn on the TV. They would have parties all the time. Like, it was crazy.
You in the house?
Me in the house. Mm-hmm. I would walk in and porn would just be playing on the TV. Like, it was fucking, it was the 80s, all right?
Bush it all.
We just had a Bush conversation 2 days ago.
That's why I hate Bush to this day.
We just had a Bush conversation 2 days ago.
We totally
did. Bush is not in office. All right? I'm not dealing with it, dude.
And I was telling him. Because we had a conversation, I was like, I think crabs are extinct now because there's no hair. There's no bushes.
No, it's just morphed into other things. But like fucking
trauma or something.
Well, like, that too, but other STDs.
I was like, have you seen? He was like, I saw a movie where like a woman was wearing underwear, but it was just sticking out the side.
She had two froze. It was crazy. She had the curl and then curls. And I was like, what is going on?
Are you watching?
I don't know. I was watching a TV show. I don't remember what came on.
Family Guy, probably.
Yeah, it was more Bush than woman. I was good really stunned. Lord. I was like, what is.
Oh, yeah. Nothing hot about having to dig for the lips. I don't like it.
This situation when you got the machete out and you're going
just
in,
just fucking like, mowing the lawn.
The Bush combo of the dude Bush on top of the woman Bush was like, you guys
friction.
Are a forest fire.
Literally, you are
happen.
Fucking. That's like caveman shit. Like, this is how you're trying to stay warm.
I think that's how they invented dreadlocks.
Sparks flying.
Is that the pubes just all came together and kind of locked in, and you were like, well, I guess I'm stuck with you.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, no.
It's like a genital like, Chinese here. Finger trap.
God, yeah. Literally. Oh my God, that is so funny.
So gross. Did you have friends that came over? Were friends allowed in your house? Did you go to other people's houses? Did you have friends come over and be like, what the fuck is happening over here?
So plot twist, grew up sex, drugs, rock and roll. My dad, I believe, Bill, don't hate me for this, got caught having an affair. And we did a complete fucking 180, and it was church. We became cult. Like, I had to wear dresses down to my ankles. Wasn't allowed to listen to secular music that I grew up on. Had to go to church 3 to 4 times a week, church camps. Like, it was like.
How old?
When did that happen? Probably I'd have to say like eight, nine.
So young.
Yeah. So like, I went from, you know, the rock star lifestyle to literally having to fucking just be like,
Jesus,
like just mind my P's and Q's.
Stepmom was in on it too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Was she the one that brought it to fruition?
I think that's what happened. It was her way of being able to control my dad.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got caught doing this, so this is what we have to do. And so like, I wasn't really allowed to do much. I had a younger sister that I always had to take care of. And Have you always been a grown up? I had chores. I had to learn a piano song a day to the beatbox. If I didn't learn that, I'd be grounded. Like, I had to mow the lawn and weed eat at nine, 10 years old. Like, who the fuck is doing that? I had to go pick up dog poop with barbecue tongs. Like, it was cruel. It was cruel shit. Who gives their kid barbecue? Like, give them a shovel.
Wait a second.
Not fucking barbecue tongs. We have to pick up one log.
Can I ask you another question?
At a time.
Not just who uses barbecue tongs. Who the fuck reuses those barbecue tongs for your barbecue?
It was our poop tongs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Poop tongs.
So you guys didn't even wash it? Okay.
All right. Good.
Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, that would be. Well, this dude always told me, he's like, you guys are so lucky. Back in my day, I used to lay cement as a 14-year-old.
I'm like, 14, but 16.
Here's my thing, though.
It.
I had jobs.
I believe it.
But here's my question. First of all, who's trusting a 16-year-old to lay cement evenly?
Dumb I mean, people. Back in the day, there was no child labor laws.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I got my first job when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
My dad was like, hey, you're getting a job. You
Mine
want money?
Was at 14, Fat he was Burger.
Like, I washed dishes.
Yeah.
By the way, Fat Burger.
Delicious.
So good.
I know. We had it, and I hate that they didn't get to try it good because they didn't love it. But when it's fresh, it's so good.
So good. Fat Burger is legit. Mm. Are we going to call it fast food?
It's definitely fast food.
I mean, it's definitely fast food, but it's high upper echelon.
I will say, though, I feel like it's a little overpriced for what I'm getting.
Right.
I feel like it's, yo, I'm going in there and spending $20 on a double, on like a pretty much a double cheeseburger with fries and a drink.
Did I ever tell you the story?
That's crazy.
You know the Fat Burger on Ventura
and Beverly Glen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Beth was out of town and I was like, I'm gonna get high and go to a movie. This best day of my life. You know what I mean?
No wife, no nothing.
I can just get high. She didn't want to see Spider-Man. Right. I'm going to get high and go see Spider-Man. I'm going to go to Fat Burger. So I park in the parking lot and I'm puffing up and I'm already kind of high. And I'm parked this way facing Fat Burger and there are cars facing me and there are people in the cars. And I'm like, what are these people? Why are they just sitting in a parking lot and they're staring at me smoking? And I'm in LA, so I'm like, I know it's not legal, but it's not illegal. Right. So I'm like, I'm blowing it and laughing. And then I hear kids. And I'm like, what? And I turn behind me. There is a church behind me. School's letting out. I'm in the legit Cheech and Chong car. Smoke flying out of both windows. So I roll up the windows. And the car is filled with smoke because I don't have anywhere to put it out. So it's just filled with smoke. And I hear this kid walk by and I can't see him because of the smoke. And I just hear, Mommy, I think that car's on fire.
I love that.
That is amazing. Yeah, dude. Mommy, I think that car's on fire.
When I
She's
got
like,
out
no,
of the
honey,
car,
just don't look over there. Don't look over there.
That is so funny.
When I got out of that car, man, I heard someone from the church go, hey, maybe a different spot next time, dude. I'm like, yeah, my bad. Yeah, sorry about that.
That is funny.
I tell them about things that we did when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Like I told them a story about, we used to go down to my basement and turn out the lights. We'd each grab 3 darts and throw them.
Animals.
In whatever direction and just try to hit.
Oh, okay. No like, target.
No, the middle. No. They were lights aiming out, for each other.
And so you lights out, count to 3, and then just start whipping the darts.
Wow.
Can you
so dumb?
Can you think of anything from your childhood that was just something that kids did or no big deal?
We used to play in forts.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Vegas, so there was like desert, and they used to have these huge like thorn bushes that we would hollow out and make forts that we could go look at porn magazines in and fucking do weird shit. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Porn magazines. That's all that was, dude.
Yeah. He talks about how
I
used to find-
I grew up with like Playboys in the bathroom. Like that was the era I grew up. But like, you know, your dad had Playboys in the bathroom? I don't know.
We used to find magazines in the woods, like under a rock.
It was probably one of mine.
So at 14, what's the inciting incident for you to be like, you know what? I'm getting the fuck out of here.
My stepmom put her hands on me one last time and I fought back. I got tired of it. She put my head through a door. And I mean, she's a 5'10", big, busty, fucking blonde cowgirl, you know, like she's pretty fucking tough. And I think that's why I'm as tough as I am now is because, you know, I had to live through that. And I finally just laid it on her. You know, I'm 14 years old and I was just like, I'm not going to fucking keep growing up in a house where I fucking have to fight to live.
Just live.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to leave. And, you know, that time my parents had already took my door off the hinges, put bells on the door, nailed my windows shut. They had done.
You were sneaking in and out.
I was leaving. I was, you know, after you go through so much abuse as a child, you get to a point where you're like, if I'm going to be the bad guy, I'm just going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like my stepmom gave me no privacy. And I remember one time she like tried to accuse me of being on drugs. So I took a fucking bag of flour and hid it in my room just to fuck with her. And I mean, it looked like a fucking kilo of cocaine.
I love
like anybody
that.
In the fucking world would know that it wasn't cocaine. And she's like, Bill, look what your daughter's doing. You know? And I'm just like,
she's baking pies.
Yeah. Like, but she's like, she's got cocaine. And I'm just like, oh my God. But yeah, so that's how it got. And it just got to the point where one night I just literally threw all my clothes in trash bags. And to this day, when I move, I still throw everything in trash bags. No matter how much
For
fucking
real?
Money I have, I throw everything in trash bags. Literally, I threw all my shit in trash bags, unscrewed the fucking screw in my window. My girlfriend was waiting around the corner, threw my clothes out, left, and never went back.
So where did you go? Where did you go after that?
So I walked the street of Vegas that night because I really didn't have a plan. And I was just like, I need to do something. So my best friend, Tasha, who I love her so much, her family took me in at their trailer park that, you know, she grew up in. And I moved into the trailer with them for a little bit. I ended up getting my first job. And then I had my own apartment by the time I was 16-ish, 17. But I lived with, you know, boyfriends off and on and kind of just hopped around. I couch hopped for a long time. But a lot of families, and I actually, and I'm going to tell this story not because I want the praise for it, but because this is how much these people mean to me. One of the mothers of one of my best friends, Michelle, her mom just passed away. Mm-hmm. And my way of being able to say thank you to her was to pay for her funeral and to go out there and send her off in the most beautiful funeral that I could, because she was the first woman who ever showed me kindness and loved me no matter what, and took me in and was like, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? You can stay here. I had her house shot up and everything. And the woman still loved me.
What do you mean shot up?
You know, I've always loved a gangster too. So, I mean, one night, one of them were pissed off and, you know, shots got fired and windows got broken and stuff like that. Her dad ran out in his tidy whities.
The best part.
I literally saw him at the funeral and I was like, hi, Carlos. And he didn't recognize me because I look so different. And I was like, it's Alyssa. I was like, I'm the one who got your house shot up. He's like, hey, how you doing? I was like, how you doing, Carlos? Yeah.
That's amazing. Dude, I love the image because I've been that dude, man startled awake in the middle of the night.
Yeah, just in his tidy whities.
Yeah. I got the bewilderment on his face.
Yeah. Puerto Rican. With a gun in his hand. Yeah. Crazy.
So many memories of tidy whitey Josh Wolf.
Yo!
Are you a tidy whitey?
Not anymore, no. I don't wear tidy whities.
They're not white, but they're the same style.
No, they're called boxer briefs. No, I'm not wearing bikini briefs.
I wear boxer briefs. Some of those are not
boxers. No, you wear boxers. I wear boxer briefs.
I don't wear the baggy boxers.
Don't make
boxers.
Me take my pants off.
You want to compare underwear right now?
Take them off.
You want to compare underwear right
they
now?
Let's do it.
Go to
take them off. We're comparing underwear. I've always wanted to get father and son naked, so here's my opportunity.
My buddy used to go, he used to say, do you know why I'd want to be a rock star? I'm like, why? And he'd go, I want to pull the calf cow. I'm like, what's the calf cow? And he's like, mother daughter. I'm like, the calf cow.
Calf cow.
He was like, rock stars are the only people that can pull
that
off our calf.
Rough.
Calf that's, cow is a terrible
saying. It is calf cow is foul.
I'm like, never that's, gonna forget that.
That's wild. That is wild.
Never gonna forget that.
My favorite Joshua, we won't call it tidy whitey, but Joshua in his underwear memory was my 17th birthday.
Oh, no.
I remember it. Well, you remember this too because it was. I remember the exact day. It was March 17, 2014. There was an earthquake on my birthday morning.
Oh God!
And it shook LA.
Yeah.
And my bed was on wheels at the time, and I remember shaking and smacking my face against the wall and going, "Oh, what is happening?" And the whole house is shaking. And I was like, "Okay, cool." And then after it stops, all I hear is some dude break out of his door, psh, and then hear the little barefoot running to my room, and then breaks open my door. I'm like, "What's up?" He goes, "You good?" I was like, "Yeah, I just smacked my face on a wall." And he's just standing there just in his underwear, no shirt. Just he's like, "All right, cool." And then he runs out and then I hear the footsteps and then they come back and he goes, "Happy birthday." And then just runs out just straight underwear. Like that's my favorite.
That's
Joshua's
a core memory.
Yeah. Yo, definitely. Core memory. Definitely.
Listen, man, you know, I will tell you one thing. I don't think I've ever told you this about being a parent that I never expected is how much fun I would have doing it.
No.
And I really didn't know how much I was going to love it.
I'm starting to have fun now because I've let go of all my past shit, of all the, you know, the grooming that you get from your parents of what you think you're a parent is supposed to be. Now that I'm just whatever with Bailey and just kind of like, not whatever, but I'm still, you know, clean your room, fucking you have a curfew, stuff like that, but not like how I used to be with her. It's starting to get really fun.
How long into your relationship with her did you feel comfortable parenting? As a, do you, I'm sure right off the bat you were like, I can't tell her what to do.
Right.
So how far in?
I realized early on, because Bailey's a Capricorn moon, that she needs structure. She's a Gemini, but thank God she has that Capricorn moon because it grounds her. Mm-hmm. So she's like her dad. She is a fucking hot air balloon that just flies around everywhere unless you get a fucking string and you hold her. So I've had to do that with her dad. So I knew that I had to do that with her, but how to do it lovingly is what I've had to learn. Because before I was just kind of like, this is how it's going to be, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, because that's how I've been with everything in my life.
Right.
Growing up in the streets, that's how you have to fucking be. You like, you
cut
know,
and dry.
Literally. Yeah. And with a child, you can't be like that. You know, you have to kind of morph to their emotions and let them kind of figure out who they're going to be. I think Mimi gave me the best advice one time because I had her on such a strict schedule and it was crazy. And Mimi said to me one time, she was like, Bunny, I love you. She's like, but no matter how strict you are with her, she's still going to grow up and be who she wants to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, we were in Miami when that happened. And it was a light bulb moment that I was like, holy shit, I'm literally here just to guide this child, not to tell her who and what to be. And ever since then, I have completely changed my parenting with her.
Yeah, it's just like to be there for that kid.
Yeah.
Just like some, the parents that don't have fun or the kids you see that don't have that relationship with their parents are the parents that don't let their kid have a say in who they want to be.
Right.
Like they don't understand that, yes, there are supposed to be boundaries, supposed to be things you tell your kid to do and to not do, but that's what the parenting is for. Is as they get older, you're just supposed to be there. You got to let them make their own mistakes, but give them that kind of still
without
rounding.
Being such a fucking Thor hammer.
Right.
Did
your relationship with Jelly allow you, because it seems like you must have had the biggest wall up around you.
Oh yeah.
And this is gonna be two questions. One, coming from where you came from, one of the other things I've always loved about you is that your people are your people. Mm. And
I'm
you
very big on loyalty.
True sense of family. Mm-hmm. One, where did you learn that from? Because it clearly wasn't from your home. Mm-mm. And
the streets.
Yeah.
You will die in the street. I know people look at me and they're like, the streets, you know, like
the streets, but the streets.
Literally,
the
streets, I grew up in the streets. I fucking
the sense of family you learned there
was in the streets because you have to have loyalty to stay alive.
Yeah.
You cannot double cross people in the streets or you will die. Like that's just how it goes. And, you know, growing up, especially in the sex work industry, once you start turning tricks and stuff like that, you have to have your core group of people that you can count on that are going to be there for you no matter what.
You trust those people? Like you have to trust those people.
Yeah. It's literally, it's a lifestyle.
It's a life or death type thing.
Like Jelly, I'm assuming that was he was the first person that you felt that type of love for.
Yes.
Did that open you up to be able to have that kind of love with Bailey? Do you know what I mean? Was it important that love came first?
Well, I had to trust Jay too. You know, Jay and I went through a lot of shit the first 3 years of our relationship where our trust completely got annihilated and we had to start all over again.
Yeah.
And I think both of us revisited after, you know, that had happened, the situation had happened, and we were just like, look, we're either in this and we're going to lock in and we're going to change, you know, try to heal generational trauma together, or we just need to be apart because there's no point in us continuing this if we're just going to destroy each other.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and we can't do that because we have a child now. So I had to just really full on learn to trust Jay no matter what and trust the universe. Like whatever's meant to be will be, it's already written. So I just need to stop trying to control the narrative and just keep moving forward. And then with Bailey, it's always been a no-brainer with her. I've always loved her no matter what, because that's a child. She didn't ask to be put in this situation. She's here, you know, and I've always wanted to make her feel like she was a part of us.
Yeah,
like it was never me, your dad, and you. It's always us. Like, we are, and like now, if you come in our house and our family, it's us. Like, we're a little fucking herd. And it's like,
sure
you know, are. Nobody could talk shit about the other one. And yeah. We're the only people who are allowed to talk shit to each other and about each other. But as long as it's just us, it's like, you know, like we're just, it's a tight family.
I can tell you for me, like with Beth, parenting, when we first started, she would say to me, is it okay if I say this to them? Or if this, she would defer to me a lot. She'd be like, I don't agree with that, but I have to.
That's how Jay and I are.
Is that how you would do it?
I will not make a huge decision or a big decision with Bailey unless I run it by Jay. And Bailey doesn't know this, so I hope she never listens to this podcast. But normally nine out of 10 times, if it's no, that's not coming from me. It's coming from dad. You know, so
interesting.
I'm kind of, it's good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
So like if Bailey wants to fucking, her new thing is she wants to go fucking tour Europe or something like that, you know? And I'm like, I'm hesitant about it, but Jay's like, no, let her go fucking spread her wings, you know? So of course we're going to let her, you know, if she wants to do it, we'll let her do it with her friends. Or like, if she wants to do something, I go to Jay and he's like, absolutely not. But I'm like, yes, it's still no.
Right.
So, you know.
Can I ask?
How old is she?
She's about to be 16. About so she's 16. 15. She's going on 32, though. Kid is so, like, wise for her years. It's scary.
I feel like
there's a lot of wisdom in the household.
Literally. Girls are more like that than boys. Right.
Yeah.
Boys are for a long time.
I'm still that.
I'm fucking stupid.
But you want them to keep that.
Yes.
You know, because that's part of their, like, charm.
Don't point at me like I'm the dumbest person here.
Have you ever, the two of you, because both of you guys, both you and Jelly have had, I don't even know what conventional is anymore, but colorful pasts that you're both very honest about.
Yeah.
So Bailey
knows everything with bumper guards.
This is what I'm asking. Right. Yeah.
So she knows about her dad. She knows her dad's whole past.
Yep.
She knows about my past because I'm never going to lie to her. We're on the internet.
Yep.
And Bailey's huge thing, which I respect it 100%, is just don't lie to me. She's always been like that.
That's huge.
Even as an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
She's like, why are you lying to me about my mom? Just tell me the truth. She doesn't like surprises. Mm-hmm. So we learned that with her at a very young age. Like, hey, we're not going to go in and be like, hey, your mom's this, this, and this. But we're going to be like, hey, your mom's not doing well right now. Or like, you know, we massage the situation, but we still tell her the truth.
Right.
So even in my industry, I had to tell her the truth, you know, like, hey, this is what I used to do and I'm not going to be doing that. Or this is what I do and I'm not going to be doing it forever, you know, because she heard it from her mom too. Mm-hmm. So her mom, you know, kind of
used more colorful words.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but we're never going to lie to her. And honestly, some people have a problem with that, but our kid is so well-rounded, dude. And what I love about Bailey is she does not judge.
She doesn't judge
anybody. And I see these little kids like, ew, this and ew. And Bailey's just like, oh, your mom's gay? I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, like she literally does not judge anybody. And I think that's a beautiful trait for her.
It is. And by the way, credit to you guys.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one thing that I noticed this weekend? His birthday was on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
And we went out to dinner and it was, so Beth and I, Jacob. Mm-hmm. And when we do a show every Monday night in Vegas. We have a residency, right?
Yeah, I love that. Residency where?
At Kimmel's
Comedy Club.
So it's every Monday night.
Yeah.
I'll have to come see you when we're in town.
Please. I got to tell you about the new place we got.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. But I was so proud of you, dude. And I know, and maybe this is part of how you grew up in California. But at the show, you were with your Asian girlfriend.
Is there multiple?
And your black best friend with your gay best friend.
Yeah.
Aww.
And I was sitting there and like none of this has ever been brought up before, but I was like, this is who we raised.
Yeah.
A non-judgmental
dude.
Somebody
who loves everybody.
It doesn't matter. It was honestly a moment I said to your mom, I'm like, there aren't too many times where I look back and be like, we did something right.
Yeah.
Because look at this dude who is accepting everybody and everybody's here.
Yeah. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what trauma you've gone through. I care that right now in this moment, I can trust you and you're a good person.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I want from people is that you're a good person. There's no judgment and I can put my trust in you that if I call, there's 10 toes down, whatever I need.
Yeah.
And I have that 5 people. That's 5-6 people, and that's all I need.
Yeah,
all
you
I need
have those, always had that.
I've always had 5 or 6 people that, no doubt.
Same.
If
I'm
I make
way.
A phone call, yeah? it's 10 toes yeah, down, always. Even if it's across the world. It's like, yeah. hey, I need this. This is how it's going to work. Are mm-hmm. you in? It is, when
You've
do I need to be there?
You created your own little safe space.
Always.
Your safe bubble.
Especially through all the trauma that you know, sure. went through growing up, just like, you know, losing my best friend, but then also prior yeah. to that, just like being picked on by people who I thought were my friends yeah. and people who I thought were 10 toes down for me. And then going through it to where it was like, the only person who's 10 toes down with me right now is me.
Yeah.
And figuring that out to then reconnecting with old friends. I mean, my best friend right now is a dude I didn't see for a decade.
Yeah.
And he is a 6'7", completely covered in tattoos, Jersey man. But the dude is no doubt, if I call him, and it's pick up and it's like, hey, man, I got this. I need this. I need you here. He's like, where do I need to be? And it's
loyalty
it. I
want you is to know. Everything.
It just took me a couple seconds to figure out 10 toes down. He said it twice. I'm like, 10 toes
you,
down.
You over here burping up. I'm sorry if you can hear that. I'm over here burping up gravy.
Everybody else understood.
I never eat fucking Cracker Barrel, but my period's about to start, so I splurged.
I enjoy.
You know what I meant by 10 toes down.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Is there a lesson, because you grew up incredibly people difficult. You had, you had to overcome a ton of shit. Mm. And I'm sure you learned some very valuable life lessons, right? Mm. Things you're like, I'm actually glad I learned that.
I always tell everybody when I do talk about my family, it's not to talk bad about them.
I agree.
It's to always say thank you, because that made me who I am. I look at my older sister and my younger sister now, and I'm not talking bad about them mm-hmm. in any way, but I see how growing up in that environment, what it did to my little sister, and I see the environment that my older sister grew up with, and I'm just so thankful that I was able to take what happened to me and kind of like make it roses, whereas they've internalized their trauma and
right.
kind of it's an excuse.
Yeah.
You know?
How do you take those lessons, which are incredible life lessons, mm-hmm. and teach them to somebody without them having to go through what you went through? Do you know what I'm at? Like,
yeah,
how do you pass that down?
You can tell people, but it's really experience. It's life experience. You can tell people like, hey, you know, this is this and that is that. But you know how us as humans, it's like, oh, that's a great story. But unless we've been through it and unless we've experienced it ourselves, we're not going to be able to save anybody.
Yeah, you can't resonate with it because it's not something that you relate to.
Absolutely.
Totally. So then let me ask you something, because I did believe, I was not one of the parents that when my kids fell down that I picked them up. Mm. I'm an analogy, but basically my theory was, I'm not going to be there to pick you up all the time.
Right. Like it's a cold world, bundle up.
You have to figure out how to fix this. When they would have problems at school on the playground mm-hmm. and the teachers would go, come find us. But I would tell him, work it out.
Right.
You can't find somebody to fix your problems all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Do you like as a parent, because now instinctually you love this person so much, mm-hmm. your instinct is like no pain, nothing bad.
Right.
But we both know nothing good comes out of all good.
Right.
You need
wisdom comes from experience.
No so pain, no gain.
How do you, knowing where you came from, knowing how you turned out, knowing how much you love this little human, how do you balance those two things between, because you're also in a situation where you could be like, this person's set up for the rest of their life. Mm. They don't have to know hardship if they don't want to.
Yeah.
How do you balance that? And how do you keep that young person grounded in the world you're in right now?
So hard, because it's like, you want to protect her. You know, like the minute she comes to me and she has beef with somebody, I'm like, whose mom am I fighting?
Yeah.
You know, like right off the gate. Like, does she have older sisters? Like, what's happening?
You know? I got my money on you. I got my money on Bunny as well. Absolutely.
But then I have to take a step back and I have to kind of analyze the entire situation. And not that I'm putting blame on her, but I'm like, okay, what was your role in this? Mm-hmm. You know, because I learned jumping to her aid like that, I come to find out that she's really the one being an asshole, you know? So now I kind of like analyze the entire situation, but I let her go through things because I'm not going to hold her hand through everything. Yeah. She's going to have to fall, but I will be there to help her up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and like, absolutely.
kid, you're going to have to learn. You're going to, and she's so damn hard-headed. It's hard to even really kind of answer that because Bailey is so much like me. She's so strong-willed and so hard-headed that it doesn't matter what anybody tells her. She's going to fucking do what she wants to do and she'll learn from it. But what the amazing thing about Bailey is she has so much introspect that when she does learn lessons, she really takes them in and applies them to her life at such a fucking young age, dude. It's almost scary. I'm like, I wish I had the insight that you did at your age.
But that's she didn't have parents who spoke to her, honestly, the way you and Jelly speak to her. That's such
That's huge. A huge kudos to you guys for being that open, but also still having set boundaries with your
kids. Can you speak on, because I feel like we try to leave the door open. Not you talk to us about, look, parents, no matter how much you think your kid tells you everything.
They don't.
No fucking way.
Yeah. No, I found that out the hard way last year.
But they'll tell you enough to make you think they tell you everything.
Right.
You're like, oh, that must be
everything. Little manipulative shit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I felt like you knew that the door was always open,
I knew the door was always open. It was just whether or not I choose to go through the open door.
Can you talk about, like, did you know people who were scared of their, I think fear
I was
is a terrible
weapon.
See, I think fear is a terrible weapon that parents
terrible.
Use. Can you, like, what was it like?
If I think about that, like, if I think about the kids I grew up with and I think about the households and all the parents that we've met, there were never really friendships I made with that kind of household. Like, if I you think all the way back to elementary school, middle school, there might have been one kid that came over to our house. We used to pick him up. He lived right down the street from us.
Remember him and his sister?
But they would walk to school every morning because, if I'm correct, their mother couldn't get out of bed to take them. And so we would drop them off some days. We would pick them up. Sometimes on our way home, we would go get them like McDonald's or something. Like, it was just one of those families that was down the street that we could give that little extra helping hand to always. I would tell him and be like, hey man, text me in the morning, like, if you need some. But there was never a household that I can think of that I went into where the kid was scared of their parent.
Not really. Well, as you've gotten older then, let me change that question. What has that feeling of confidence, because because I'm sure Bailey feels the same way, the feeling of confidence that you know you can go, like, does that give you a quiet confidence walking around the world? Does that give you, like, because I know for me, no matter what shit I ever went through, you know, in the back of my head, I knew that my mom and dad supported me 1,000%.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I when I write my journal every day, one of the first things I write down is I'm so grateful to have been surrounded by love my whole life.
No, that's huge. So good.
It's so huge.
Yeah.
And I realized that that subtle thing has informed who I am. I have a certain level of confidence because they instilled that consistent love in me.
Everything you do is out of love now too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of come full circle for you.
It's been, so I'm wondering, like, I really tried to, both your mom is the most loving person I've ever met in my life.
Good Lord.
But so what does that?
I wouldn't say it's confidence. I wouldn't say it gave me a sense of confidence walking around the world knowing that I had my parents. It was more reassurance. It was more reassurance than anything, that knowing that if I got a bad grade or if I messed up somewhere or if I you know, did something that I regretted, I always had a safe spot, right? I always had a safe zone in that house where we could talk about anything to make sure that I wasn't making dumb decisions in my teenage years. And I knew kids that were doing, you know, blow freshman year. I knew kids that were getting into drugs real early. I knew kids who came to school on acid. When I was in eighth grade,
I may have done that.
When I
was in eighth grade, there was a kid, I'm not gonna call him out, but there was a dude, a bigger Latino kid, and
using the accent.
Feels nice.
Yeah.
Everybody else hear it? All right.
Latino.
You nailed it. Yeah, absolutely. And he was
like, that was a little spicy.
It really was.
Yeah, it was good.
A little flamenco.
Yeah.
He would come to school drunk and high, sixth through eighth grade. I remember PE was our first class of the day, and it was 8 a.m. And this dude would take his shirt off and he had blood tattooed across his chest at 12. Mm. And this kid was always just like, always walk around punching lockers. Just a giant eighth grader.
He did not feel safe.
Sounds like one of my ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
I loved the Bloods.
And he did, obviously, like there were kids that I saw that had that some sort of rough or turmoil growing up. But it was always just so rough to see that and to know what I was so grateful to know what I had at home.
How old were you when you first felt safe?
Oh, God. Fucking 40? I don't know. Like, geez, that's a loaded question. I was just realizing hearing him talk because I really look at like you and Bailey's similarities too, is a child that's been raised in love doesn't know any different. Mm-hmm. So that question, he can answer it as best he can, but he doesn't know any different because he wasn't raised like the Blood that was punching lockers, or he wasn't raised like how I was. So I don't think they even will realize the home life that they had until they have their own home life, you know? So it's like, not that I'm putting down your perspective way.
Of course.
I'm looking at it from Bailey's point of view too. Because if you would ask Bailey the same question, she would have answered it the same way, you know?
It really is the most simple thing you can do as a parent. Because the truth is, zero cases of perfect parenting. And I would even say that.
Yeah, zero. There's kids who have zero trauma who have fucking trauma.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I worded that the right way because I never wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, whose parents did everything they thought was right and then they're fucking in mental institutions they have some sort of trauma. Something happened.
There was
they
a
didn't
comic
feel heard.
Who said, you can't compare sucks.
Right.
Trauma is trauma.
Right. Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. You can be like, you got hit as a kid? Yeah, I can't feel bad about my dad not coming to my game.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
You can't
minimize other people's trauma.
Cannot do it. And like, when you find out that there's no perfect parent, right? And as a matter of fact, I would say for every positive thing that you instill in your kid, I don't want to say there's a negative to it, but let's just say this. Let's say your kid gets up at 7 every morning, gets themselves dressed, brushes their hair, is good with schedules, sits up straight and quiet, and is a scheduled, well-oiled machine. But guess what? When dinner's at 7 and not 6, they lose their shit.
Right.
That's the opposite side of you. Now, him, on the other hand, he's the flowiest dude because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but you get him into structure and he's going to.
Yeah. Like, why are you telling me what to do? Yeah,
so, there's no such. You have to, as a parent, in my mind, you're doing the best you can to figure out who this person is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to instill in you what I think is important. I can't do anything else. That's why the love and the patience and the safety, those are things that you can provide. And that's a pure in the plus side.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All you can do is make your kid want to be a good human.
Yep.
That's all you can do. Instill in them whatever traits you think it is that a good human represents and just try to hope that they'll go out into the world and not turn into Jeffrey Dahmer, you know?
With my glasses.
Yeah.
They're a little more yellow tinted than Jeffrey's, right?
Yeah, Jeffrey's were a little.
They were like, Jeffrey's were like half sunglass, half not.
Yeah. I'm in a really strong half Hunter S. Thompson, half Big Lebowski stage of my life.
I love that.
Oh, Bunny, I
love it for you.
I'm in such a gratitude.
Peaceful.
Drug induced.
Lots of drugs right now. But
is it really drugs?
It's mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
And acid that one time.
That
it was in Atlanta like 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
it was hilarious.
We were about to go on stage. I'm like, let me get some of that ass.
Oh,
no, that wasn't. Wait, hold on. You're missing like four other parts to that. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I'm in such a peaceful. This is why this particular. I'm so fascinated with people that I respect and love about how their journey brought them to where they are. Mm-hmm. Did you ever think not only that you wanted to be a mom, but that you'd be equipped to be able to do it? I know a lot of people who grew up the way you grew up were like, I'm not having fucking kids.
Yeah, I'm that's me. Literally, I've never, my thing was I wanted to be a rock star's wife. I wanted my own business. I never wanted the white picket fence. I never wanted kids. I've been pregnant. I've lost babies. I had an abortion. You know, we'll talk about all that in my book, but it's like, I never wanted to have children of my own because I never wanted to ever be a reason why a kid turned out fucked up or to ever inflict
trauma
on them.
Were you scared? You were like, this is the only thing I've ever seen. How do I know I'm not going to be
that? And I just, the appeal of children has never been,
right.
You know, it's never been appealing to me. I've never been that type of woman, but with Bailey, I don't know if I feel like I'm a mom. I don't ever think of it like that. I don't think like I'm a mom, you know? I think of it as like, this is my little fucking bestie. And like, we're just fucking kicking ass through life. And, you know, she pisses me off every now and then. But other than that, fucking, you know, I want to watch her grow up to be this beautiful woman. It's literally crazy because I've been in her life since she was 7 and we're planning her sweet 16 now.
Amazing.
And it's just so crazy to me because I'm like, God, this is like a relationship, you know? I'm like, this is like for, like, I'm in this child's life for the rest of her life, whether she likes it or not, you know?
So awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's, I don't know. I've never really taken the time to sit there and just be like, hey, I'm a mom, you know?
So since you said like, you know, there was something that told you, you never wanted kids because of the way you grew up, and you said that you never felt the love like the love you felt when you got together with Jay, was knowing he had kids, did that somewhat throw you off or did it make you want to step into that role even more because you wanted it to work as much as it did?
I don't think I've ever like planned anything out in my life, but I knew that Bailey, I really haven't. Like I've knew what I wanted in life and I've gone out and I've manifested it. I've like always it. Yep. visualized it, yep. But I've never been like, this is a game plan and I'm going to attack it this way. Right. Like I didn't think of it that way. When I got with Jay, he had another woman pregnant that he had been in a relationship for off and on for 10 years, that a toxic relationship. I absolutely love that baby mama. I think she is a fucking awesome woman. And yes. I'm so thankful that she's in our life and we raise these babies together. She raises his son, Noah, and just does a fucking amazing job with it. And I'm so thankful for her. And Bailey was the situation at the time because her mom was in such shambles and her life was in such shambles. So when I saw that, it was like a no-brainer. I was like, you need a lawyer? Cool. I'll hire one for you. Mm-hmm. You need a house? All right, cool. I'm going to get that for you. It was never me like, I'm going to do this just so I could be a part of these kids' life. Cause I didn't even know if I was going to be with Jay. And I even told him in the beginning, like, hey, if you and I don't work out, I still want to make sure that these kids have this child has a chance at life with you.
It was super important to you, wasn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, I know what it's like to be that little girl who's in a fucked up household that nobody will help her in, you know? So I wanted to give her the chance that I wasn't presented.
You're all about not whether it's going to be hard on you or hard on them. You're all about what's right from wrong.
Right, absolutely.
That's really what drives your moral compass.
Do you remember?
Very Aquarius.
The first time she said, I love you?
The first time she said, I love
you. Or called you mom. Do you remember either one of those?
I don't remember the first time she said, I love you. I can give you guys an example of Bailey and I's relationship, because this kid has given me shit.
I'm sure.
And I remember there was one time she was like, she was in a dress and she was just sitting all crazy and she was burping and she was just like, I couldn't believe it. I literally was like looking at this little gremlin and I was like, okay. And I was like, Bailey, you need to sit up. I was like, you need to act like a lady. And she looked at me and she goes, I ain't no lady. And I was like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And literally to this day, that was like a defining moment with her and I, because she was like, oh, okay, then I do need to be a proper lady. And like, I started teaching her. I think the coolest thing with Bailey was, and I'm trying so hard not to like shit on her mom when I say these things. When we got Bailey, she didn't know how to brush her hair. She didn't know how to brush her teeth. She didn't know how to use certain things properly. She didn't know how to even bathe. You know, like that's how bad it was. And through the years, I have gotten to teach her how to be such a young lady. And that's that awesome. Has been, I mean, a hooker teaching a girl how to be a lady. Like, yeah. This is crazy, right?
Wasn't that a Richard Gere movie?
Yeah, I think so. Literally.
That must have been super fulfilling, though, because it was so like, thanks, though. Something right? you didn't get, but got to be able to share an experience right. with. I love that.
And now when you see Bailey, she like smells good all the time. Her hair is done. She's like a freaking little makeup artist. And like, she just like dresses so cool. And it's like, it's really cool to sit back and watch and be like, I did that, you know? Yeah.
If I was going to ask you,
and but remembering the first time she said, I love you. I don't remember
that. I remember the first time you called your mom.
I feel like it was early.
This dude, one of my favorite moves he used to make as a kid. He's always been a pretty sensitive. When he was 8, he cried tears of joy. When he was happy about something, he was
a big tears of joy guy.
You're Pisces, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Big emotional. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I remember, and he used to, when he would talk to you, whether you were sitting, he would put his hand on your face and talk to you. He'd be like, Dad, can we? Or whatever you would want to say, he would make
Don't
sure
you
he
miss
touched
that?
You. Oh, that little hand.
Oh.
Get the fuck that hand. I know. Because if that's your right hand, don't touch me with that on my face.
I know you're right.
Hey, I'm ambidextrous.
Nobody jerks off with both hands.
Yeah. You know. Damn it. Yeah. It's the old Indian burn.
No, not at the same time. What are we talking about?
Hey, listen, if I had a dick, I would. I'd be doing it all.
You go both? Are you playing hand jive?
I would fucking scissor. I would do it all.
You going hand jive on the dick?
Listen, if I had a dick, I would be
hand jive on the dick is wild.
I would get weird with it.
Listen,
you guys are lucky. Listen. It's outside of your body, so you guys get to do whatever.
Hand jive on the dick is wild.
The one time I jerked off with my left hand, I almost felt like I should put a ski mask on.
Why is that? Jay can't do it either. And I'm like, come on, switch it up. You know, like, let's fucking get crazy.
Here's the deal. I'm going to give you the best analogy I can give you. If I go to a steak restaurant, okay, and I know I like this ribeye.
We're comparing dicks to steaks?
Well, let me just, okay.
I mean, meat to meat. I guess it kind of makes sense.
Take the trip with me. Hold on. Okay. If I go to a restaurant and I know I like that ribeye, and I fucking love a ribeye, and I'm not going to go and order a cod.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm going to be disappointed with something that I know that I love. Yeah. I know how good I am to myself. Why do I want to fuck it up? You know what I mean? I'm not practicing.
A little strange.
What? I was going to say, it's like a stranger.
You're not used to the left hand motion.
I felt like I should put a ski mask on like I was getting robbed. Yeah. Punch myself
in
the gut.
Cover your eyes. Yeah. You don't know whose hand. Try to get it to come in from a different angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you don't know which hand it's coming through.
And talk with a different voice. Give me that dick.
I mean, maybe a little more feminine. I mean, or whatever you like.
Oh, yeah. He probably shouldn't have gone as deep.
I mean, we don't want it to be like the demons when you ordered pizza. We don't.
Gosh. Can I tell you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you sat up like you had the craziest
I've
secret
been
to tell.
Doing some research into spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you. He. Fucking,
this guy thinks he's the avatar.
No,
over
I love
here.
It. Like,
I've been doing some research into spirit guides. I'm so curious.
They're so real.
So
we all have them.
I started to talk out loud to my spirit guide and be like, I really would like to meet you. I'm open. Basically, like, I'm open for business.
Isn't it great when they show up and their name's like Tom?
Okay. Ready for this?
Yep.
I was doing mushrooms.
Shocker.
It always starts with that.
And this is like 2 nights after I had done all the research and decided I'm open for business. When I say more energy and different, like every couple seconds, I'd feel something weird. And I was reading about it afterwards in some dark. I was reading about it that when you do drugs, you're opening yourself up in such a crazy way.
Yeah.
But it was almost like the spirit guys were going, oh yeah, you want to be open? We're all coming through. And it was the craziest ride. I was in a hotel room with him, which was weird.
Yeah.
But I was not on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Do you do mushrooms?
Oh, I do mushrooms. Okay. Yeah. I'm taking a break for a little bit because I had a couple weeping under my blanket instances. So,
but you needed that.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Well, it wasn't like a sad weeping. It's a didn't think I was going to be this high weeping.
Oh, that's the worst.
But you know, you just got to kind of ride it out. Yeah. But yeah, I was sitting there with him, and at one point, quiet, dead silent. His eyes are closed. He even might have headphones on, hat down, mm-hmm. and he just reaches over to me. What did you, I even forget what you said?
I reached over and I grabbed him because this is I was. Saying it out loud, but I felt like I needed to touch him to protect him. And I just said out loud, if you're not here for good or to help, I need you to leave.
Yeah, always.
Now, he thought I was talking to him.
I thought he was talking directly to me. And I was like, well, I'll see you later. I was like, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. He was like, and he was like, where are you going? And I'm like, he just told me to leave.
He's like, you're my trip partner. Come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, dude, I need you in the room.
Yeah.
You had to hold you down to earth.
That's I want to end this with one question for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One thing you hope Bailey gets from you and one thing you hope she doesn't.
That's such a good one. I'm so bad with on-the-spot questions like that.
I can tell you, I'll answer what my answer was for him so you can think of it. Yeah. It actually was the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he gets kindness and grace and putting happiness and joy out. I think that's super important.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the same time, I would say it's also my weakness because I'm too nice.
Right.
I put other people in front of me. I do things that I don't really want to do to make somebody else happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you say that I've grown since the last time we spoke, mm-hmm. that's been the biggest part of my growth, which is I'm kind, I'm not nice.
Well, just remember, Josh, no is a full sentence.
Yes.
And I've had to teach my husband that too. Yeah. Because he's just like you. He will fucking spread himself thin and be miserable about it.
Yes.
You know, like just because everybody needs him doesn't mean that they're allowed that access to him.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's also really important. Like you taught me this early on and then I learned it a lot more like working TV production and stuff like that. It is knowing your worth is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like I may have been a PA for 7 years and at the bottom of that food chain and but for me, it was always like, I may be the bottom of the food chain. But if you think about it.
Who made you feel like you were at the bottom of the food chain?
Bigger.
That's what you need to point out.
Yeah.
Bigger made me feel like I was the PA.
Yeah. Somebody had to have made you feel like that.
It was some EPs. It was some bosses. And it was some other things. But my realization came with.
But that's projection because they see.
100%.
Your potential.
Yeah. And but for me, it was. I learned really early on that, yo, none of this stuff would get done if I wasn't here.
Absolutely.
If me and my PAs and my people weren't on this set, your execs would have to go get coffee by themselves.
They would have to
go do things for themselves. Nothing would get done. Nothing would run the way it runs.
You're a young, good-looking dude with great energy.
And
older
greater.
Men are going to fucking automatically
100%.
Be on the defense.
Insecure.
Because they, you know, they see that this young bull is in their arena, so you have to understand that a lot of that is projection. And anytime anybody puts anybody down, that's on a, I don't want to say lower level, but is doing a job that maybe doesn't pay as much as theirs. That's projection.
Yeah.
That's being rude because.
Yeah. By the way, pay attention who those people are. Those are not.
Yeah. You don't want those people in your life. Anyways.
You don't want those.
No, there was a big one for me there when I was, when I worked on a TV show right before I went to Panama in 2022. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you there was a production manager who spoke to me a certain way three times in a matter of an hour where he spoke down to me and talked to me like I was a kid when he was looking up at me while he was talking to me.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And legitimately 2 days later. I had gotten a call to go be a key PA in Central America to go shoot a show. And I remember going up to him and I was midway through my shift and I was like, hey man, I'm leaving. And he was like, what? I go, I just got offered a different job. I don't want to be here with you and your shitty attitude for the rest of the night. I'm going home. Y'all, I'll come get my check from your wife tomorrow morning. Like I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Cause I know what I'm worth. And I know that my time could be spent better elsewhere instead of taking shit from you at midnight.
Can I
when
tell you,
dude, nobody here.
Can I tell you, just as a dad, I've never heard that story. I'm super proud that you stood up for yourself, dude.
Yeah,
this is what
absolutely.
This is. It's because you know the one thing we never know as parents is how they are out in the world.
Right.
I'm lucky actually that I get to see that.
Yeah.
But most parents don't get to see Mm-mm. who their kids have truly become.
Right.
It's for me one of the biggest blessings of this right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he's become the person. the person that we had hoped that he was going to become.
And that's amazing for you guys. That says a lot about you guys as parents.
Tell me.
I think I would want Bailey to get my my discernment. I can read people's energy really well. Yeah. So I know how to choose who and what I don't want in my energy. And I hope that she learns that from me. I also hope she does not get my stubbornness, because I learned a lot of hard fucking lessons because I, one, maybe didn't want to admit that I was wrong or didn't want to hear anybody else's advice. So I hope she learns how to take, you know, constructive criticism from people or constructive advice from people and knows how to apply it better than I did.
Taking everything with a grain of salt is important.
Yeah.
You don't realize till you're older that criticism doesn't mean that's the truth.
No. Right. Right. No, 100%. Not at all.
But it doesn't mean that's the truth. Right. It just means that that person's opinion.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't control that person's opinion.
No.
I'd love for you to learn this, and this comes with age, is that it's so it's such a blessing to learn, man. Oh, I can't control anybody but myself.
Oh yeah.
So I can't control, for example, I can't control how many people buy tickets. I can control how good my comedy is.
Absolutely. And then that in return makes people want to buy tickets.
That's it.
Yeah.
But if I'm focusing on the other thing, I'm not focusing on the thing that I can control.
You're focusing on what you don't have rather than what you have.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've been doing a lot recently, though. You've been telling me a lot about how you've really started to turn a new leaf and go, I got to stop looking at what I don't have and harping over it instead of looking at all the amazing stuff I already have currently in my life.
Every morning I get up and write a list of the things that I'm grateful for.
Absolutely.
And the top three in that list is always health, love, family. Mm-hmm. Now, it changes every morning how I'm feeling, but those are the three things in my life that if everything went away,
you still have,
which are the things that I covet the most.
Yeah.
Health, love, family.
Yes.
And
those are things that money can't buy
or can't be taught.
Right.
Like it's all things that just, you learn with each other.
Yeah.
Bunny, this was better than I thought it was going to be.
It was amazing.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming on. It was
anytime.
Outstanding.
Next time I'll bring Jay when he doesn't have a mouthful of fucking gauze.
I understand. Listen, the way you two carry yourselves, and the way you reach back, which is what we're all supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Is just like, it's so, when people ask me about you guys a lot.
No.
And they're like, what are
they? Tell them nothing but lies. I'm trip them out.
I'm like, actually, that's a fat suit.
Yeah. Do it. Do it.
He zips it. He zips it off.
Do it.
He zips it off and he just comes out like,
yeah, he zips it off.
That would be amazing.
Like, yeah, that's a fat suit. You didn't know that? Yeah, he zips it off.
Awesome. The new rumor lately about us is that we're in the Illuminati. Like, it's been the craziest. I'm like,
take me along.
I was like, I'm glad you guys think we're rich enough. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
How do I get in that group?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Dude. So yeah, start that rumor about the fat suit.
That's funny.
I am going to start that.
No, please do.
He's actually not that big. What?
Yeah, really, he's like a twig inside. Literally. Yeah. Literally.
Man, I think we should all just get together one day and be like, what rumors do we want to start about each other?
Oh, it would be so fun. We should just have a whole podcast about like just talking shit. Like, remember when we did this and this and this, and then put it out and people will be like, they really did this.
Yo, that is amazing to put out 100% fake, real podcast.
Yeah. Just control the narrative of what you want out in the universe, because people believe anything.
Yes. Yeah.
So I could literally be on here and say, I shit antlers. And people would be like, she shit a fucking antler. Mm-hmm. Like, and it'll spread. It's like telephone. It's crazy.
Felt like I've shit antlers before.
Yeah. Listen, I did this morning. Yeah. It felt like it. It was a buckhorn. It was bad.
I was, man, listen.
We don't need to talk about your poop escapades. I don't want to get into that. I love talking about poop.
Oh, can I? This is my favorite.
Whenever I poop and it's in the hole and out of the water, I always take
those
a picture.
Are the favorite.
And send
so
it. There's
Jay.
Four it's people that
a,
get
it's
it.
It's called a flagpole.
I never knew that.
Me neither.
When it touches the
bowl, but it sticks out the top of the water, it's called a flagpole.
I thought it was a turtle.
Turtle is when it's poking out of your butthole.
I just know the ghost poop. You know,
where you poop, but don't like where you wipe and there's nothing there.
And you look in the toilet and it's gone. Like, where does it go?
Well, I've never had a disappearing poop before.
By the way, it might be the best magic show of all time.
No, it's crazy. It's like, now you see it, now you don't.
Comes out of your butthole?
Yes. Plop. And
then
there's
no wipe and there's no...
No fucking turd. Yeah, it's a mind fuck.
Yeah.
It's going to happen to you now.
Oh, I hope
it does.
And
when it does, please text me. I have to know. I need to know.
Can I tell you the only good thing? Because I went vegan for like 90 days. I'd like to try everything, yeah, yeah. Right? The only thing, good thing about vegan.
You will shit like a motherfucker.
But the poops come out of your butt like they're on a water slide.
Yeah. Yeah.
They come shooting out.
No.
And there's no wipe.
Yeah. No, it's like the cleanest. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Jay and I did the vegan thing too. And he was
did?
Oh yeah. We did. We went vegan for probably, I'd have to say, a year. When he lost all that weight in 2017.
Yeah.
That was one of the main ways that he lost all that weight. He worked out a lot, but he also, we did vegan. We went 100% vegan.
It's wow. Such a, I got to tell you, looking back, mm-hmm. It's what a terrible 90 days that was.
Yeah, I see it. Awful. And you don't get enough fucking protein. No. And it's like, there's a lot. I'm not talking shit about vegans.
I'm talking shit.
I am also, yes.
The
absolutely.
Worst farts. Like a vegan fart, it is a
wet.
And then it's like, I think somebody just let out some nerve gas.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It is a, yeah. It's like a bad, it's
you
aggressive.
Can taste it.
You really, because here's why you taste it. Here's my theory. It's wet. It gets in the air particles. So it's kind of thick.
Yes.
Oh.
No, for sure.
You've done an unfortunate amount of research on vegan farts.
I think he had them. Listen,
wisdom.
I Dutch ovened your mom for wisdom? 3 months. Oh, I
wait, for 3 months? You've been Dutch ovening mom for
I'll
your
kill
entire
Jay.
Marriage.
If he ever Dutch ovens me, he's tried to. You guys have never smelled a fart till you've smelled a jelly roll fart.
I can only assume.
He has
I can
the
only
cutest imagine. Butthole, though. His butthole is so cute.
Huh?
I knew that was going to be your reaction.
Jay's hilarious. Butthole is the cutest butthole
yeah, but
I've
how,
ever seen.
What's the... How? Okay.
He's got it? These big old just meaty cheeks.
You got meaty cheeks.
And these are just the tiniest pink butthole I've ever seen.
So...
It's so perfect.
I
like the color of your bracelet.
Really? He's got a cat nose butthole.
A little bit paler.
Is it like
a little bit baby pink?
Is it cold and damp like a cat's nose?
I mean, I'll lick it every night. I'll lick it anytime. If he gives me those Mike Honchos, I will lick it at any time.
I have never. I don't know what I would consider to be a cute butthole. I think
I'm
they
sure
all
you think
kind
your
of,
wife's butthole is cute.
Don't you can answer it. Don't look at me when you say it, though, you freak.
Staring in my eyes.
Yeah, you're fucking weird.
I'm not sure cute is the word, but I'm here for it.
Are you a boob? Are you a boob? Are you a boob, ass, or a vagina guy? What is your thing?
Ass.
What are you?
Ass.
Okay, so a butthole comes with an ass.
Yeah. From what I'm told.
What do you love about the ass? Just the cheeks or the hole?
I love the cheeks. I've said this before. When I'm having,
he's really thinking
I love,
about
I love
it.
Everything. I love everything.
Do you
about
like
it.
To see the wave go
yeah,
out?
Yeah, my girlfriend
and come
doesn't
back
as much,
in,
but
you know
I mean, I do. But there's not been a lot of exploration of the forbidden land.
Gotcha.
If you know what I mean.
But
the
I think
forbidden
that's why,
land. What are you
I
in
think
the
that's
Hobbit?
Why people love.
Yeah, kind of.
I think that's why people love buttholes because they are forbidden
yes.
land. Nobody's just walking around with their butthole hanging out. You got to dig for it.
Can
you
I
know?
Can I tell you? I remember when this dude first before. I had licked a butthole. I was like, I don't know. And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, there's, how could it taste like anything else besides
pennies?
Be right.
He was like, pennies?
He goes, it doesn't taste like poop. It tastes like pennies.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? And this is how he explained
Tangy.
It to me. He said, the butthole is the body's vanilla extract. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, it's the opposite. Because vanilla extract smells terrible. Smells great. But tastes terrible.
Right.
But the butthole is the opposite. You yeah. smell it, you're like, I don't want a piece of that. And you taste it, you're like, I'm in.
As long as it's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got some Fremunda cheese and a little dingleberries, I would think that it would not be great.
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah. This and there is zero forgiveness for like,
oh, that's the worst. If you know your butthole is about to get licked, you need to wash. For sure.
Yeah, I think that's.
But
that
I mean, what if you're in the heat of the moment and it's been a long day?
Then you go, give me 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like if you rode the bus.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. If you rode the bus to get there.
Well, yeah, you're riding your bike to your dick appointment, you should be showering before You enter the man's
First of
the
all,
man's
if you're
pen.
Riding a bike to a dick appointment, you shouldn't be getting dick. All right, like they need to be coming to you.
Yeah, or coming to you.
They need to be coming to you. Okay.
God. Wait a second. You know how,
ladies,
like,
we gotta draw some fucking boundaries somewhere. Okay, please.
You know how, like,
do not ever ride the bike for dick.
You put your feet in the water and the little fish clean it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do that with your butthole.
Not if you want one going up.
Is that bestiality?
That's an interesting question, actually.
Is it worse that they eat the dead things off your feet or your butthole?
I mean, do you want a goldfish up the hoot, Nanny?
That's what I was going to say. Well, what if the fish ends up the
lodge?
Well, you're not parting the Red Sea for it. You're just putting it in
but
there.
But if you're squatting over it.
That's a good point.
Like, it's
you don't
not
be
like
the
your
dude
butthole's
at the baseball
closed.
Game. Don't be the dude at the baseball game squatting over the fish.
Oh.
Your penis is hanging
your
out.
Your penis. I can see your penis.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever had a butthole conversation with you before.
No, you and I generally, it's like the one thing you and I don't talk about are our sex lives.
You know, because which is good. Because I'm having sex with your mom, which is why I don't talk about it.
Yeah, it's a nice boundary to have.
I feel like you guys are a lot closer than most father and sons because, I mean, you're literally tripping balls while he's laying next to you.
Yes.
So it's like most sons and fathers aren't doing that.
Sometimes we're tripping balls right next to each other.
There's nothing wrong with sex conversations. I understand wanting the boundaries. But, you know, everybody does it.
I will tell you, you know, we've been touring together for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't let him get his own hotel room. He has to stay in the hotel room with me.
So you got
to
whack off next to your dad?
There's a bathroom for that. There's a bathroom for that. But like,
Josh,
or the hotel, or the hotel lobby bathroom to get a little more privacy.
Oh,
and fuck off
not
all the
lobby.
You gotta fuck off all the way.
That's kind of hot.
I can't.
There might be a fetish
you
for that.
Jerk off in public?
No,
that's the public.
I'm not saying I'm gonna do it. I'm saying, but if I'm gonna do it, I don't feel like doing it in the room with you.
Well,
listen, don't let him shame you. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you know what's crazy is every time I get up to go to the bathroom, every time I get up to go to the bathroom, he's like, "You going to jack off?" And I'm like, "Would you fucking relax?"
Every time.
I'm like, "Yo, I'm just going to take a shit.
Like
can a man
when
shit
Haley,
in peace?"
When Haley gets up to leave anywhere, I'm like, "You going to poop?" Like every time, dude. We were at Bert Kreischer's.
I will tell you how close we are.
Yeah. You guys have something special.
Yeah.
It has made this, like I said, it has made this time, like I'm sure when you guys get to bring, when Bailey comes.
Yeah.
It is such, you know what I had realized? Because I've been doing this for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I was on my own for 3 or 4 days a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was living a life by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sharing my life or experience. I was having all these experiences alone. And when he started coming out, I was like, oh, this is like,
that's what life's about.
This is what life is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sharing these experiences with one of the most important people in my life.
Yeah.
And like that. It's been such a huge shift. I could say it a million times. I've never been happier in my life.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm super happy.
I do have one more question for you just at the end of it.
Okay.
What would be your best parenting advice for someone or some either a father or a mother who's stepped into a role like you stepped into?
Don't force anything. You can't force a kid to love you. You can't force a relationship. Like, When I first got with Jay, I wouldn't hug Bailey unless she said it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I always asked for her permission. Like, can I hug you? And I still, to this day, will ask her, can I hug you? And she'll say no. You know, like, mm-hmm. No, I don't want to be hugged, you know? And I just think that that's so important that, you know, everybody wants to be, you know, the mom or stuff like that. And it's just like, that will come when they trust you and they feel safe. Mm-hmm. Don't force it because they're going to end up resenting you and hating you.
That was an amazing answer. Yeah. Super
thank
insightful.
You.
And absolutely. Truth. I correct. Watched yeah. Beth do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She put in the work.
I love Beth. That's why I love Beth so much. She reminds me of myself, like her spirit in general.
Yeah. You guys, and people from the outside are going to be like, how is this possible?
Yeah.
You two are similar in so
in
many
a lot
ways.
Of ways. Yeah. Yeah.
The inner strength.
She's a great woman. So
yes, she
I'll
is.
Take it.
The inner strength that both of you have is, and the ability to pick yourselves up without fanfare,
without anybody being like, oh, you need a pat on the back because you picked yourself up. Mm-hmm. No, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick myself up because I'm a grown person and you're not going to knock me down.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
And so I recognize that in both of you. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We do miss your dog.
I know Chachi's getting his butthole washed right now.
Cute butthole?
Yeah.
Who's got a cuter? He does have a big butthole.
It's crunchy.
Yeah.
It's crunchy. It's a little dry.
He does.
Jay's is way cuter. I know you're going to ask me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. His is
probably
moist.
Stays
pink
moister.
And moist.
Yeah. His is exposed to the air all
Chachi's
the time.
Chachi's is just crunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crunchy butthole.
Same with Indiana Jones. Not the movie guy. My dog's name is Indiana Jones.
I was like, damn, Harrison Ford. Yeah.
Well, I will say, he's old as hell right now. He might have a crunchy butthole. I'm not going to lie.
Harrison Ford's got a crunchy butthole? I was really upset.
I mean, he's old as hell. He might have a crunchy butthole. Who knows?
Yeah, out of context, when you just say Indiana Jones,
I was really
your face like, what?
Yeah.
You're going to drop that bombshell?
I was really concerned. I was like, let the man go out with some dignity.
Yeah. But also, my question would have been, how do you know he's got a crunchy butthole? That's my next question.
I was not even going to question it.
I have to tell you, and I'm just guessing, I think as you get older, your butthole gets less crunchy. That's what I'm saying, because I think you have less control over what's coming in and out of it.
So in and out?
Well, just out.
Whoa, but Jesus.
Probably in a diaper.
Yeah, you might get a little damper.
A little moist.
You said in and out, just out. You said as you get older, you got to worry about more things going in your butt?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, colonoscopies.
maybe your prostate every now and then.
Yep.
Anyways, we love you. Please,
love you.
Next time you're in Vegas.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me know.
Absolutely.
We would love to grab some dinner with you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. You got anything else?
No, but
do you anything you want to
tell people
you wanna,
what you're doing? Anything you want to put tell out there?
Them? You guys can find me anywhere online. XOMG, it's Bunny, Bunny XO, or come listen to my podcast, Dumb Blonde Podcast. Drops every Wednesday. And I love you guys.
I want to tell you her podcast. You know, some interview podcasts, they're monotonous with their guests or their topics. Yours is not.
I appreciate
and
you.
Like I said, you get people to talk because you're so open and honest and you listen.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And so I don't listen to too many podcasts. Yeah. I listen to Huberman and I listen to you.
Oh, what a fucking it's a broad spectrum. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's a whole different.
It's like Indiana Jones' butthole.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, everybody, we love you.
Bye, you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What are you going to tell them?
Tell them. Well, I got two things, actually. I also want to give you another flower up top right at the very end. It's very inspiring because you definitely made it apparent because you just never wanted to be known just as Jay's wife. Mm-hmm. And I find that inspiring.
He's been fighting that.
Because I've been fighting that my entire life of being just his son.
Yeah.
So I find it very inspiring and very motivating.
Just
to
keep building
to
your
know,
path.
Yeah, to know that there is
separate.
A way out of the shadow.
Oh, there is.
So that's a role model for me. So thank you for that.
You
I really
this.
Appreciate that. Everybody, go tell somebody you love them today. Do something nice for someone. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Thank you.